Okay, so this morning we're going to look at two events recorded for us in the Bible. Two stories concerning two different men. And got your whiteboard, so as we go through the story, if you just want to jot some important things down on your whiteboard, it might help you to recall things when I ask you some questions a little bit later on. So, our first story. Now, there was a certain rich young man, and he came to Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to attain eternal life? What good thing must I do to attain eternal life?" And Jesus asked him, saying, "Why do you ask me about what's good? There is only one who is good. But if you want to enter into eternal life, keep my commandments." And the young man said to him, "Well, which ones do you suggest that you want me to keep?" So Jesus replied to him and he said, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." Well, with great pride and joy, the young man said, "Well, I have wholeheartedly obeyed all these laws. What do I still lack?" Can we say that today? Can we say that we've kept our Ten Commandments? Don't think we can we, if we really look at it, boys and girls? But anyway, let's see what happens next. And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go and sell your possessions, give your money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." Well, the rich young man heard all this, but he turned away. He went away very sorrowful because he was very rich. And that's great sadness, isn't it? There he is. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ told him what he had to do. And yet he couldn't do it because he was very rich. And he turned away and went on his way very sorrowful. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth. It is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And he was actually referring to there the gate, which was called the eye of a needle in the walls of different cities, not a sewing needle. I find it difficult getting a thread through the eye of a sewing needle, let alone putting a camel through it. So it wasn't about that. It was about going through a gate. But nevertheless, something very big had to go through something very small. And then the disciples were greatly astonished when they heard this, and they said, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and replied, "This is impossible for mere humans, but for God, all things are possible." So this young man knew that there was something missing. He knew that he needed something. He wanted something new. But in the end, he went away. So let's have a look then. And I've got some words up here. So we're going to do, first of all, we're going to have a look at the general assessment of what was going on. Okay? So there we are. We've got our general assessment. So this young man, he was wealthy. He was very influential. Some may have described him as a magistrate, even though he was very young. He would have had wisdom beyond his years. So he was the top performer, really, probably in his class and in his school. He was recognized by those higher in authority and had given him an important position. He also had probably what we call a moral compass, in the fact he knew what was right and wrong. He had also, in some ways, bought into that lie that perhaps all good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. He was of good character and he had many fine qualities about him. We would have probably enjoyed him being in our company if we didn't know better. So let's look at his personality. We've got a personality assessment. Oh, he had good courage and great courage because he was living in a time when the religious community wasn't that fond of Jesus. They were trying to sabotage what he was saying, probably trying to destroy him. And we can recall in the Bible that even Nicodemus had sought the Lord at night. But this rich young ruler went in broad daylight. He actually ran up to Jesus. He had a lot of humility as well, because he bent down before the Lord Jesus. He was very sincere and he was very open with his questions. And he wasn't really seeking to trip Jesus up like some people had tried to do. He realized that there was something missing in his life. So we've come to church today. We're all looking very presentable, aren't we? But what's hidden? What can't we see? And what was hidden in him behind his and our clothing? God sees everything. So let's look at the spiritual assessment of this young man. Let's see what God thought of him. There's a big difference between someone who's actually seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and somebody who's actually been convicted by what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. True conviction, unfortunately, is missing in so many people who call themselves Christians today. The only true Christian are those who have been born again by the Spirit. Now, if I ask most of you, would you either like to go to heaven or would you like to go to hell? Big question, isn't it? I would hope that most of you say, actually, heaven's a nicer place from what we've heard. We don't know a lot about all these sort of places, but actually, we'd like to go. So if I said to Ari, would you like to go to Buckingham Palace today? Or would you like to come back to Mr. Bevan's house? What would you say? You'd probably like to go to Buckingham Palace because you only get, you know, one, you know, you can come to my house most of the time, but you'd only get one invitation. Perhaps to go to Buckingham Palace, we get this nice letter coming through the post. Perhaps a garden party or something like that to go to. So the rich young ruler really wasn't what we call arrogant, but he was probably rather naive, really, in what he was asking. He had quite a shallow concept of sin. You know, which of us today can say we have never broken any of the Ten Commandments? And certainly, Jesus knew about this young man. He'd obviously broken the first and the last straight away, to have no other gods and to also not to covet. This young man had great riches. That had become, obviously, his idol. And also, did you notice where the eye was put when I told you the story? The young man asked the wrong question. He said, what shall I do? We know it's nothing we can do. It is not what we do. It's what we are. And Jesus goes straight to the point, doesn't he? And so, there's a radical therapy needed here. There's the two-part treatment which the Lord Jesus recommended to this young man. He said to him, go and sell your belongings and then come and follow me. It's about also understanding that giving and selling won't save you, but about putting your whole trust, your whole faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to follow him. You know, there are many people, many Christians, who are blessed with wealth. And we're not saying, and the Lord is not saying today, if you're rich, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What the Lord is saying is that if you've made those riches so important and think of them greater than God, then you won't be able to go to heaven. Your riches has become your God. And isn't it sad? This young man had the opportunity, you know, wouldn't it be lovely if we had the opportunity, if Christ could walk in here this morning to tell us all about himself and his Father in heaven. But we've got his word in front of us and we can read that word and that tells us what we must do. So that's the rich young ruler. He was a magistrate. He had great wealth. He knew that there was something missing in his life. And yet when he was told what he had to do, he didn't do it because he had these great riches. And it's sad, boys and girls, I think today, that there are so many distractions put in the way of young people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, having opportunity to come to church or to Boys Brigade or to Girls Association. You know, when I was growing up, I was a young football referee as well. And I used to referee football matches on a Saturday. Football matches weren't played on a Sunday. It was family time and people went to church or had the opportunity to go to church. The shops weren't open on a Sunday. People stayed together. And yet now, all the shops are open. All the football clubs play all their matches on Sunday. The rugby clubs, the cricket clubs, and things like that. A great distraction for young people not being able to come to church. And it's great that you're here today to listen to God's word. So that's our first story. We're going to pause and we're going to sing a hymn, 518, In Loving Kindness. So let's just think a moment. We're going to move on to our next story. So this young ruler then, what do we think? What was
up with him, really? What can we recall from our story? What do you think the mistake he made?
That's right. He put his trust in his money and his wealth. He couldn't see a way that he'd grown to live with this wealth. He had lovely clothes, probably had some servants. He had a fantastic job. And he felt that was more important. Yes, Lance.
And he thought there was a way that he could go to heaven.
Yes, because he said, what must I do, didn't he? That's good as well. Okay. Anything else that we've got from our story this morning so far? Go on, all right.
He was proud and thought that he was good enough to go to heaven.
Yes, that's right. He was proud, wasn't he? He thought he'd kept the commandments and that everything would be okay. However, he still, I think, probably his conscience was telling him inside of him that there was still something missing. Well, well done for listening on that. So let's look at our second story then. So it concerns another man. And this man was driving along in a chariot. And again, he's looking very important, isn't he? Who wanted a pony today? Who wanted a new pony? Yeah, well, he's got a couple of horses there coming along in his chariot, looking very nice and important. So this man was in actual fact a treasurer in the royal court of Queen Candace, okay? Now, an angel of the Lord told Philip to go south to the desert road running from Jerusalem to Gaza. And Philip obeyed, and on the road he saw this chariot coming along. And inside the chariot was an Ethiopian official. He was in charge of the queen's treasury. And he'd been up to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home. And the Holy Spirit told Philip to go to that chariot and to stay near it. Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading aloud from the words of the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked this question, and he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian replied, "How can I understand unless someone explains to me?" And he invited Philip to sit down and ride along in his chariot with him. And the passage the Ethiopian was reading was about a saviour God. And it was about the saviour which God had promised to send. And it read like this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." So in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak for his descendants for his life was taken from him on earth. Well, the Ethiopian said to Philip, please tell me who the prophet is talking about. Was it about himself or somebody else? Who do you think the prophet was talking about? Do you have any knowledge of that bit of the Bible? Who do you think the prophet was talking about? Was the prophet talking about himself or somebody else? He who was like a lamb led to the slaughter. Who do you think he was talking about? Elijah?
Jesus.
Yes, it was, wasn't he? He was talking about the Lord Jesus. And Philip said this. He said, the prophet Isaiah is talking about Jesus. He then told him how Jesus had died and had risen from the dead so that everyone could have their sins forgiven. And as they travelled along the road, the Ethiopian said this. He said, look, he said, there's some water over there. What can stop me from being baptized? And he gave orders for the chariot to stop. And the Ethiopian went into the water where Philip baptized him. And as Philip came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. And he took him to Ashdod, where he preached in the towns and as he travelled north to Caesarea. The Ethiopian went on his journey home rejoicing. He was glad at what happened and what he had done. So there's a different ending to this story than the last story. What's the different ending?
Go on then, Ori.
The Ethiopian finally gets baptized.
Yeah.
Like the other story, he didn't get baptized.
No, he didn't. So what's that word I said at the end? What happened to the rich young ruler when he went away from Jesus? He was, Elijah? He was sad, wasn't he? So the rich young man went away sad because he had great wealth. And yet on this story, the Ethiopian did what? He went home
happy
and rejoicing. Yeah, well done. So he went happy. He was happy and rejoicing on his way home. So let's just look at a few key things as to happened in this story. So we've got another little assessment to do. And Captain can find his little piece of paper. So, what's the general assessment that we can look at for this part of our story? Well, the Ethiopian had actually done something quite different and quite marvellous, really, because he had, in some ways, converted his faith to being a Jew. He'd actually travelled to the temple in Jerusalem to worship God. And that was quite unique, really, for people who came from Ethiopia. They were quite a despised region, certainly based on certain classes of people. But clearly, the Ethiopian was, in all appearances, a very righteous man. He had been given great authority and great responsibility in the queen's household. Ethiopia at that time was being ruled by the queens. So he'd been given responsibility of all the money and all the wealth. But yet he had gone to Jerusalem in order to worship God in the temple. So again, here's a man with great wealth, great responsibility, quite like the rich young ruler. He'd gone to worship in the temple and he was travelling home on the road, in his chariot, reading the scriptures. He wanted to continue to learn. And that's important for us boys and girls, isn't it? He wanted to continue to learn. And so he was reading the scriptures, which he had. He had a personal copy in his chariot to read. He was reading from Isaiah. So I wonder how often we read the scriptures after a service when we go home, or even during the week. Or do we just save things up and perhaps, oh well, we'll do it next Sunday, we'll open our Bible. So it's very important, isn't it, to read. And so this Ethiopian was reading his scriptures. So, And his personality was such that he knew what he had to do. He was seeking something more. He wanted to learn more. He was quite studious. And our story tells us that he's riding along in his chariot, looking forward to going home. And yet God had caused Philip to appear beside him. Now, if we were rich and traveling in our chariot and a stranger came up to us, we may think, what's going to happen? Are we going to be robbed? Are we going to be mugged? You can see I've got lots of gold and things like that. But clearly, the Ethiopian had the sense and the calmness to invite Philip into his chariot. And what happened next? Well, we can do a quick spirituality assessment. The Ethiopian was clearly seeking the truth from the scriptures. He was prepared to allow a complete stranger to explain something of the good news of God to him. And he also asked the right question this time. How can I understand unless someone guides me? So here is this important man, traveling in his chariot, going home. And yet he wasn't so proud of himself not to be able to ask for help. And that teaches us a lesson as well, doesn't it? We all need to ask for help. We all need guidance. And so therefore, the radical therapy on this occasion was that the important Ethiopian treasurer was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was profitable for him that he had gone to Jerusalem, in that he would have heard the scriptures preached. He would have heard the doctrine of Christ. There would have been people talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So it probably wasn't altogether new for him. However, he needed to do something. So what was needed? Well, he needed to submit himself, didn't he? He needed to be baptized. He needed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, it was a quite powerful working of the Holy Spirit, and that Philip met with him and was able to explain things to him clearly and show him the way. But notice the question which was asked, in that the Ethiopian asked the right question yet again. It said, what hinders me from baptism? And Philip replied, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And then the Ethiopian replied this, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And therefore he was baptized by Philip and went rejoicing on his way. So wasn't that marvelous? A great end to this meeting. And what a different outcome was had from our previous story about the rich young ruler. This Ethiopian treasurer had asked all the right questions, and there was nothing hindering him in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it causes us today, really, as well, to think about what is actually hindering us in making that profession of faith in belief of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. All this that we have to do is believe in our hearts that he is Lord, that he died to save us from our sins. And we need to wholeheartedly put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in our reading from Corinthians, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So we need a change in our hearts this morning. And I would hope that you would realise that when we think about what we need new today for our new beginnings is a new heart, a heart full of the belief of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us. He loved us so much that he died on that cross to save each one of us from our sins. We cannot help sinning. We do things wrong, but we have to come to a place in our own lives where we can say we are sorry and say, Lord, help me. Help me this day. Believe in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to become a new creation, that I may have eternal life, and that I may go away from this place rejoicing in his holy name. So our two stories, two very different endings, one very sad and yet one very happy. And I hope someday that you will come to that happy realization that the Ethiopian had, and that he was baptized and went away rejoicing in the name of his Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to close, we're going to sing a great hymn, number 525, O Happy Day. And we are going to sing the chorus after the first, third, and fifth verses.